All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chof Gimel. We are starting last line. We are starting third to last line on Chaf Bezim with base 22b. So today's daf is 23. 22b, three lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Huda Hinuda Ger She'in Lo Yorshinava. So also Rabbi Huda Hinuda, and Rashi points out over here, Hinuda is me Eretz Kushi. Sounds like from Ethiopia. So Rabbi Huda the Ethiopian was a ger, was a convert who had no inheritor. So I'll say, so again, a situation like this is a simple one, where again, a person went ahead and converted, and didn't have any children post-conversion. So he's a ger, he's a convert without inheritors. Chalash, he became very ill. Al Marzutra L'Shayulebe, so Marzutra went to be Mevaker Chola. He heard that Rabbi Huda was ill. He went to be Mevaker Chola to visit the sick. Chazi Tetakif Le Al Motuvan. He saw that Rabbi Huda was really like deathly ill. He was on the cusp of death. Amrli L'Adi, so we'll say, so here's what happened. Marzutra saw that Rabbi Huda had an Eved Kenani. And Rabbi Huda was interested, Marzutra was interested in inheriting the Eved Kenani upon Rabbi Yehuda's death. Remember, when you have a ger she'in lo yorshim, when you have a convert who has no inheritors, when the convert dies, all of his property becomes hefker. His property becomes ownerless. So Marzutra has an interest in acquiring the servant of Rabbi Yehuda Hinuda. So what does he say? Amrle la'avde, he said to the servant Rabbi Yehuda Hinuda, shalof li masanai, take off my shoes, va'atminhu lebeisei, and do me a favor and carry it home for me. So as you saw yesterday, having the Eved take off your shoes is one of the forms of servitude, one of the forms of chazaka that allows ultimately again for the acquisition of the Eved. Now what's happening over there, Dvo explains this, he says that Marzutra purposely chooses something that is going to take a little bit of time. So what he's pretty much anticipating is that what? As the Eved is going ahead and taking Marzutra's shoes home, Rabbi Huda's going to die. Right after Rabbi Huda dies, the Eved is already currently engaged in an act of servitude, which by definition allows Marzutra to acquire the Eved. So there are two different versions of the story. Some say that the Eved Kenani was a godel, was an adult. Top of Chaf Gimel. Zepirish Lamisav, Zepirish Lachayim. Rabbi Huda Hinda died. Marzutra remained alive. And again, as a result of Rabbi Huda's death, and the fact that Marzutra was using the Eved Kenani of Rabbi Huda at the time of Rabbi Huda's death, that automatically allowed for what? That allowed for Marzutra to acquire the Eved. The Iker D'Amri, others explain, Katan Hava, that in fact the slave, the servant in question was a Katan, Udaloka Abashol. And our Mishnah does not reflect, and this episode does not reflect the view of Abishol. Because what did Abishol say? This Sanya, Ger Shemes Ubiz Bizu Yisrael Nechasov, if you have a Ger who died, and Yisrael took. Remember, so same situation over here. Ger dies, no inheritors, and Yisrael comes along and takes his property. Vahayu Bahen Avadim, and they were slaves. Bein Gidolim, Bein Kitanim, Rabbi says Avadim Kinanim. Because remember, we spoke about the Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, a Jewish servant, is not passed on to the inheritors of his master. So if you have a situation of Yisrael, or I should say Ger, who passed away, and again, no inheritors, Ubiz Bizu Yisrael Nechasav, and Jews choose to take his property, because again, remember, it all becomes Hefker. Vahayu Bahen Avadim, Bein Gidolim, Bein Kitanim. And if they were slaves in the estate of the Ger who just died, whether they are adults or children, Kanu Atzman Bnei Chorin, they have the ability to acquire themselves as free people. In other words, once the master dies, the Eved Kinanim have the ability to acquire themselves as Bnei Chorin, as free people. Abishalom Abishol says, Gedolim kanu atzman b'nei chorin, kitanim kalamachzik bohen, zacha bohen. Abishol says that if they were gedolim, they acquired themselves as b'nei chorin. And if they were kitanim, whoever takes advantage of them, whoever takes possession of them, I should say, acquires them. So we'll say, so two different versions of the story. Either one possibility is that the slave was a gadol, or the other possibility was that the slave was a katan. I will say, interestingly enough, the reason why it doesn't reflect the view of Abishol, because again, remember, according to Abishol, if it was a katan, whoever would have taken possession of this eved, katan, would have acquired it. If it was a gadol, then it makes sense ultimately that Marzutra wanted the eved to be doing something, some act of servitude at the moment of death of Rabbi Yehuda Hinuda, because that way, as soon as Rabbi Yehuda Hinuda dies, the eved is is actively already serving Marzutra, which allows Marzutra to ultimately acquire the Eved. So the Konas Asavakas, as well as remember again, yesterday's daf, one of the fundamental machlokesim we had was seen Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And the machlokes was about how an Eved is able to acquire himself. So remember again, the Mishnah said that according to the Rabban, according to Rabbi Meir, he has the ability to acquire himself with kesef. I'm sorry, let me just read this. This is v'konas atzo b'kesef al yedei achirim. Rabbi Meir said that a Gentile servant could acquire himself through money, which sounds like he could buy himself back from the master, but it has to be what's called kesef al yedei achirim, which means that the money must be handled by others, cannot be handled by the Eved himself. So says the Gemara, Bekesef ayideh achirim in, avalo ayideh atzmo. So what the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Meir, is what? Suppose let's play this out. So an Eved Kenani wants to go ahead and buy himself out of servitude. Apparently, if the Eved Kenani takes the money and gives it to the master himself, that does not work. That does not work. But if someone else, a third party, gives the master the money, then what? Then in fact, that does work. So says the Gemara, B'maya Skinon, what are we dealing with over here? Ilema Shalomi Daito, if you say it's talking about a case where the Eved did not realize that someone else was redeeming him, so the Eved was unaware. He did not know that someone else was redeeming him from the master. So let's analyze this. Michdi, Shamano Leil Rabbi Meir, Do'amar Chov Huli Eved Shiyetzi Mitachas Rabo Lecheiros. This is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Meir holds in general that it is considered to be halachically, or I should say, objectively detrimental for an Eved to be freed. And also you'll say to yourself, why would it be detrimental for an Eved to be freed? Look at Rashi. Rashi is Shamin le Rabbi Meir, the Parakaman Digin, Chov Huli Eved Shiyotze, Shimhaya Eved Koin Postum and Atruma, the Eved Yisra Osra Beshivcha, the Shricha Le Pritzale. So what says Rabbi Meir holds that it's detrimental for an Eved to be freed on two counts. If he's the Eved of a Koin, as Eved of a Koin, he's entitled to what? He's entitled to Truma. When he's emancipated, he no longer has that right to Truma, so he loses out. There's a financial loss. And also, as a slave, he has the right to go ahead and marry a Shivcha, marry a maidservant. Once he's freed as a Ben Chorin, he does not have that ability. So you'll say to yourself, so what's the advantage of marrying a maidservant? So apparently, again, the maidservants were known to be very lewd. And so an Eved enjoys that promiscuity, and therefore, again, he loses that ultimately upon emancipation. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that it is a chov li adam. It is a detrimental for the Eved to be freed. And therefore, again, we'll say, v'tanina, we learned, zachin la adam shalo b'fam, so remember again, the halacha is I can do something of objective benefit for someone even without their knowledge, but I can't do something that is detrimental to them without their knowledge. So we'll say, so remember again, we're trying to set up the case. Bless you. We're trying to set up the case ultimately over here of Rabbi Meir, the case of Kesef, according to Rabbi Meir. So if you want to say that it's being done without the knowledge of the Eved, that can't be. Why? Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion who holds that it's detrimental for the Eved to be emancipated. Whenever something is detrimental to me, someone could only do it with my knowledge, not without my knowledge. Elapshita midaito. Rather, it must be that what? That the Eved is being emancipated. He's being emancipated. Someone's giving money to the master with the knowledge of the Eved. V'hakam ashmolana. And we learn, ayyudei achirimin, ayyudei atzmolo. So also Rabbi Meir comes to teach us that what? If somebody wants to give money to the master to emancipate the Eved, that can only be done, A, with the Eved's knowledge, and B, with money given directly from the third party to the Adon. But money cannot be given to the Eved to give to the Adon. Why? Alma, we see from here, Ein kinyan la'eved below rabo. Because we'll see, what's the take-home message? The take-home message is that there is no such thing as an Eved's ability to acquire without ultimately, again, the master. In other words, that the general principle is whatever the Eved acquires, his master automatically acquires also. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says, Rabbo said that again, let's play this out. Therefore, to go ahead and take money and give it to the Eved and say, Eved, here, this is for your emancipation. It doesn't work. Why? Because the moment you put that money into the Eved's hand, what happens? What happens? So ultimately, the master acquires it. Now, to go ahead and to redeem the Eved without his knowledge, without his consent, doesn't work either. Why? because Rabbi Meir holds that emancipation is detrimental, is a detriment, is a chov, and you can't do that without the consent of the Eved. Therefore, the only case of Kesef is where the Eved knows what's happening, he agrees to what is happening, and then a third party gives the master money to emancipate the Eved. Ihok, if that's the case, Ema Seif, remember, look at the end of that case. So, Bishtar Ayid Yasser, Rabbi Meir Paskins, there with the shtar, if the Adon, if the master wants to emancipate the Eved, the Adon could give the Eved a shtar directly, a document of emancipation, a shtar shikr, and the Eved could accept the shtar shikr. So the Gemara says, now remember, Rabbi Meir said that the Eved could accept the shtar himself. What that sounds like is what? The only way to work a shtar is for the Eved to accept it himself. But let's say if the shtar were to be given to a third party, then what? Then what? Then emancipation would not work. So the Gemara says, 1 second, why not? V'imi daito. And if this is all happening with the Eved's consent, ayede achirim amai lo. Why can't the shtar be accepted through a third party? V'chitema my ayede atzmo af ayede atzmo. But maybe you'll say when the Mishnah said that a shtar can be given to the Eved himself. It doesn't mean only to the Eved himself. Rather, what does it mean? Even to the Eved himself. In other words, that not only could the shtar be accepted by the Eved by a third party, but the Eved himself could actually accept his own shtar. What do we learn from here? Degito v'yado ba'im ke'echad. And what we learn from here is that Rabbi Sagan, what? That simultaneity. Not a day goes by without simultaneity, right? So what happens? That is, get and his hand come together at once. They will say, again, remember, even though under normal circumstances, whatever you put into the hand of the Eved effectively transfers to the Yad of the Adon, but there's a special din of simultaneity that as soon as you put the get shechur in the hand of the Eved, so the get, and the release occur at the same exact moment. I have a halo tanihachi, but that's not what the Mishnah said. This sanya, because we learned, actually, I'm sorry, but it's not what Lutzen the Bryce said. This sanya, because we learned, bishtar ayide atzmo, velo ayide achim derimir. So most of the Bryce is quite explicit, and the Bryce says that what? That according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar could only be received by the Eved and not be received by the third party. So therefore, again, Amr Abaye Abai comes to interpret this and says, the olam shalomi daito. The case of Yerabosai is where this is being done without the knowledge and consent of the Eved. So watch this. V'shayni kesef ho'wil v'koni le'bal karchei makni le'bal karchei. Sabai says, do you know why kesef works? So also remember again, what did we say? According to Rabbi Meir, kesef can only be given by a third party to the master. And Abai is suggesting that the case of the Mishnah is where what? The Eved does not know and does not consent to the emancipation. So why does it work? Kesef is different. Because since a kesef could acquire a slave against his will, so too Kesef could emancipate a slave against his will. Because what does that mean? Meaning you don't need the Eved's consent. This is an Eved Kenadi. You don't need his consent in order to purchase him. He can be purchased against his will. So if he can be purchased against his will, he could be emancipated with Kesef against his will as well. So which the Gemara says, Ihachi Shtar Nami. But you could say the same argument by Shtar. Because remember, you could also acquire an Eved with a Shtar against his will. Therefore what? You should be able to emancipate him with a Shtar against his will as well. To which the Gemara says, no. High Shtar Lochot v'high Shtar Lochot. Those are two different Shtaros, Rabosai. So just because you could acquire him with a Shtar, that's a Shtar Kinyan. That's a Shtar of acquisition. That works against his will. That does not mean that what? That a Shtar Shichra, that a document of emancipation works against his will. Two different Shtaros. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Yachi Shtar Nami, high Shtar Lochot v'high Shtar Lochot. Hachanami. So why don't they say the same thing? High Kaspo Lochot v'high Kaspo Lochot. Why don't they say two different monies, right? One is money of acquisition, one is money of emancipation, to which the Gemara says, no, but money is money. Tiva miyachatu. We'll say the coinage is the same thing. In other words, that it's true, it's money being used in two different ways, but the money in essence is the same. So we'll say, so Abaye's understanding of Shitas Rabbi Meir is the following, that Abaye's understanding is that Lamaisa, when it comes to Kesef, since Kesef could acquire against the will of the Eved, so too, again, Kesef could emancipate against the will of the Eved. Therefore, again, according to Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Meir, That's why kesef even works without the knowledge of the eved to emancipate the eved. When it comes to shtar, however, as much as shtar could go ahead and what? Work against the will of the eved. So to acquire him, that's one type of shtar, but the shtar for emancipation is a different kind of shtar. And therefore, Rabbi Meir holds that shtar only works if what? If you give it directly to the eved and presumably with the knowledge and consent of the eved. Rava, on the other hand, has a different interpretation. Rava said, and these are all interpretations of Rabbi Meir. Rava Amar, kesef, Kabbalah Srabo Garmalo. So I say, here's the difference. When it comes to kesef, when it comes to money, so money, it is the acceptance of the master that ultimately affects emancipation. Therefore, logic dictates that whether the eved agrees to that or not is irrelevant. It's not a process dependent on him. It's a process dependent on his master. So even if a third party comes along and what? Even if a third party comes along and says to the master, here's the money for the emancipation of the eved. Whether the eved agrees to that or not is immaterial. On the other hand, shtar, when it comes to a document, the shtar shichrer, kabbalah sachirim garmalo. But also when it comes to a shtar shichrer, right? Ultimately, again, to go ahead and say that a third party should affect it on his behalf doesn't make sense. Look at Rashi. Kesef kabbalas rabo. Shemekabal rabo akesef garmalo vishtachra me'ilov. The fact that the master chooses to accept the money for the eved's emancipation, that's the master's prerogative. Ve'ein achirim halalu chavin. But, and no one else is causing a detriment to the master, because at the end of the day, it's the master who's choosing to accept the money. However, Ela Kabbalah Sarah, Varav Ein Nasish Lucho. I'm sorry. Right, Varav Nasish, just messed the place. Ve'echem Halal Chalavin, Ela Kabbalah Sarah, Varav Ein Nasish Lucho, Ela Zorach Atzmo, Umakneo Me'ela Vavachirus, Hashtar, Kabbalah Sachirin Garmalo, Ve'echem Dechofulo, In Chavani Adam Shlomi Data. So we'll say, Sir Rava makes an interesting distinction. When it comes to money, the reason why money could go out and take place even through a third party is because money is not, no one is accepting that on behalf of the Eved. That is being done by the master. If the master chooses to accept the money and emancipate the Eved, that is the master's prerogative, no matter what the intent or desire of the Eved is. On the other hand, when it comes to Shtar, I will say, works how? The master gives the Eved a shtar. So says Rabbi Meir, only the Eved himself could accept the shtar. No one could accept the shtar on behalf of the Eved. Why? Because if the Eved doesn't want the shtar, then what? Then it's a chov. Then it's detrimental to him. Rabbi Meir holds that what? In chavan la'adam shelo b'farnam. You cannot do something detrimental for someone without their consent. Therefore, the ma'aseh, if the Eved has exhibited that he does not want shechrer, someone else cannot accept the shtar on his behalf, because in chavan la'adam ela she b'farnam. The chacham b'kesef d'atzmo. So we'll say, so that was shittas Rabbi Meir. So therefore, shittas Rabbi Meir is that kesef works through a third party. If a third party gives the master kesef, that's fine. But with the shtar, the Eved himself must accept the shtar. The Chachamim hold the reverse. Right? The Chachamim say that Kesef works al yedei atzmo, himself, through the Eved himself, and shtar works al yedei achirim, through others. Says the Gemara, b'kesef al yedei atzmo in al yedei achirim lo, Kesef works through the Eved himself, but not through a third party. So amai, why is that? Nihi nami dishalomidaito. Even if you want to say that this is a case where, let's say, a third party is paying off the master without the knowledge or consent of the Eved, it should still work. Why? Michte shaman aluhu l'rabbanim d'amri zuchusu she'ezim d'achas rabba l'cheirus. Both say because the chamar of the opinion that what? That it's objectively beneficial for a servant to leave the domain of his master. If that's the case, v'tanina zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav v'in chavin la'ala b'fanav. Both say, listen to this. If you hold that it's objectively beneficial, it's a schus for an eved to go free, then what? Then any third party should be able to go ahead and give the adam the money for the eved's emancipation, because you're doing something of objective benefit for the eved. And the halacha is that you could do something objectively beneficial for someone, even what? Even without their knowledge or consent. So if that's the case, again, so v'chiteima, my idea, as someone said, so that's a kasha. So if that's the case, why do the Chachamim say that when it comes to kesef can only be done through the Eved, but a third party can't do it on his behalf? The Chitema, my idea, atzmo, af ayidi atzmo. Oh, maybe what it's saying is when the Mishnah says that Chachamim say that money could be done, right? That even the Eved could buy himself out of servitude. It doesn't just mean that that's the only way, but rather it means what? An Eved could even buy himself. Meaning it goes without saying that a third party could pay off the Adon and emancipate the Eved. That goes without saying. The novelty is what? That an Eved can even buy himself out of servitude. The Kamash Molana, what does this teach us? The Yesh Kenyan La'Eved Below Rabbo. And it teaches us that what Rabbo say, that according to the Chachamim, there is the ability for an Eved to acquire something without his master taking immediate possession. Yeah, because that's the novelty over. The novelty over here is that if the Eved receives money for his emancipation, or he has his own money for his emancipation, he's able to emancipate himself, and we don't automatically say that whatever the servant acquires immediately becomes the property of the master. Ihaki, if that's the case, imosefa bishtar ayde achirim, velo ayde atzmo, if that's the case, when the Chachamim said that a shtar could only be given to a third party and not to the Eved himself. But why is that? Vahakaimalon, digito viyado bainke echer, but why should that be? We hold the simultaneity. If that's the case, then the Adon should be able to give the Eved a shtar directly. But maybe you'll say that when it talks about a shtar, that a shtar could be given to a third party, it means even to a third party. Meaning, it goes without saying that a master could give an eved the shtar himself, but the novelty is what? You could even give it to a third party. And what? And therefore it turns out that it's a schus, meaning the Mishnah is teaching that it's objective benefit for the Eved to go free. Ihachi na'arvinu v'nisninu. If that's the case, Rabbi said, then according to the Chachamim, you should actually state the cases of Kesef and Shtar together, because their bottom line is the same. And you should say that an Eved goes free, bekesef u'bishtar, with money with a document, bein ayidei achirim, bein al yidei atzmo, both through a third party as well as through himself. Ella bekasef bein al yidei achirim bein al yidei atzmo. Rather, I will say, you have to say like this. According to the Chachamim, an Eved could go free with kasef, with money, whether it's the Eved himself who's giving the money, atzmo, or the money is being given by a third party. However, bishtar, when it comes to a document, al yidei achirim velo al yidei atzmo. Well, say shtar only works how? Shtar only works how when it's received by a third party on behalf of the Eved. In other words, when the master gives the shtar to a third party to act essentially as the agent of the slave. V'lo ayde atzmo, but the slave himself cannot receive a shtar shechur, a get, the document. Why? For Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who, and I will say this reflects the view of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. What did Reb Shimon ben Elazar say? This anya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af pishtar ayde achirim velo ayde atzmo. Because Reb Shimon ben Elazar is of the opinion that according to the Chachamim, when it comes to a shtar, when it comes to a document of emancipation, that document must be received by a third party and cannot be received by the Eved himself. And therefore, it turns out the Gemara says v'shalosh machlokos bedavar. And therefore, it turns out that what? It turns out that lemaisa, again, there's actually a three-way machlokes within the Mishnah itself about how an Eved acquires himself. So says the Gemara, my time the Reb Shimon Elazar. So now let's go back for a second. So now, remember, we're in Shitas Chachamim is that kesef, when it comes to money, so an Eved can either buy himself out by directly giving the money to the master, or a third party could give money to the master on behalf of the Eved. And there are two things that we learn from that. Number one, that Yesh Kinyan La'Eved Below Rabo, that an Eved has the ability to own something, even independent of his master. And number two, that it's of objective benefit for an Eved to become emancipated. That's why an Eved can either give money himself, or a third party could give money for the Eved even without the knowledge of the Eved. However, when it comes to shtar, the Chachamim say, a shtar only works if the master gives the shtar to a third party. But if the master gives the shtar to the Eved himself, the Eved is not emancipated. Why not? So the Gemara suggests because the Chachamim reflect the view of Shimon Elazar. Now we'll say, what does Reb Shimon Elazar say? So the Gemara says, my time is Shimon Elazar. Gomer lo lo mi isha. Because Reb Shimon Elazar makes a gzeir shava between avdos and ishus, between servitude and marriage. La la me isha. Ma isha at shiyotzi get lushus she'eno shelo. We'll say just like by isha, when does a get work? Get only works when the husband conveys the get from his own rishus to another rishus. Right? They will say, so for example, remember again, if the husband goes ahead and gives a get to his wife, but let's say he puts it down on his property and he says again, this is your get, of course it doesn't work because there's no transfer of rishus. So just like the get has to leave the rishus of the husband and go into the rishus of the wife, so too by get shichur, so too by document of emancipation, what happens to happen? Af eved nami ad shiyotzi get lirshus she'eno shelo. So too again, by a shtar shichur, by document of emancipation, it only works if what? If the shtar leaves the rishus of the adon and goes to another rishus. So look at the last Rashi on the page. Shenu shalo shel rabo. V'rabanan gemuri hachi ma'isha mekabalas gitav evan mekab get. So listen to this. So that's Rav Shimon Elazar. So therefore, the logic seems to be the following. The logic seems to be that halach lemaisa, therefore you need the shtar to be given to a third party. Why? Because that takes it from the rishus of the adon and places it into a different rishus. I'm sorry. So apparently not. In this iteration, not. So boi rabba. So the Gemara says boi rabba. The Reb Shimon Elazar. Eved. So both say. So Rabba asked the following kasha. So according to Reb Shimon Elazar, he asked the following kasha. Mahu Eved Kenani. Mahu sheyasa shliach lekabel gito miyad rabo. Well, so listen to this. So now here's an interesting question. So now, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, it sounds like that in order for an Eved to acquire his get shikra, his document of emancipation, the get has to go into the hands of a third party in order to ultimately allow the transfer of the get into another rishus. So now, listen to the shalokit Rashi just a moment. Rav Shimon Elazar, the Amar Eved Eino Mekabel Gito. Evan Maushi Yasa Shliach Lekabel Gita. So this is an interesting Shiloh. So now, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, an Eved can't receive the get himself. Why can't the Eved receive the get himself? Because in order for a get to work, it has to leave the domain of the master and enter into a different domain. The problem is Rav Shimon Elazar's worldview, so if you just put the shtar shechur in the hand of the Eved, that's like the Adon taking it from one hand and putting it into his other hand. He's got to leave his rishus. So here's the interesting shayla. So Rav Shimon Elazar, could Eved Kenani become a shaliach to receive the get? So you hear the schap over here? So let's say the master says, I want to appoint you as the agent to receive the shaliach on behalf of the Eved. I'm sorry. I said that correctly. I want to appoint you as the shaliach, right? My shaliach, to receive the get on behalf of the Eved. See here what's happening over here? I know I can't give it directly to you. Can I appoint you as a shliach lekabbalah to receive the get on behalf of the Eved? So the Gemara says the following. So ma'ushi asa shliach lekabbalah gitim rabo. On one hand we could say, kevan de gamar la lami isha ki isha. So on one hand I could say, I'll say that what? There's a gzir shava that links Eved Kenani to a wife, and therefore again, I could say Kiisha, he's like a wife. Now, boss, now what's the halacha by a wife? So a husband can absolutely appoint his wife to be her own shliach lekabbalah. He could do this. We saw this in Gittin. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Kiisha dami va'usa shliach lekabla Kiisha denafkalon mivashulcha mibeis. Malami sheisha osa shliach vaynu tekama ideachirim. So boss, say so again. So a husband could appoint the wife to become her own shliach lekabbalah. So do we say, since it could happen by a wife, it could also happen by an eved, Dilma, the other possibility is, isha, di'ihi matzi mekabelas gita, shaliach nami matzi mashve. Eved, di'ihu lo mekabel gita, shaliach lo matzi mashve. So we'll say, on one end, say the following, we'll say, in general, the halacha is, that you could only become a shaliach, you could only become a shliach for something that you yourself could do. So since an isha can be makabel her own get, therefore what? She could be appointed as a shliach lekabbalah. On the other hand, an eved, who at least according to Shimon Elazar, cannot receive his own get, right? It has to go to a third party. Then what? He should not be able to become a shaliach either. Basar debaya hader pashta. After they ask the question, they then answer it. La mi'isha ki isha. And we'll say, again, we say the gzir shava, and therefore, again, gzir shava between ishas and avdos, and just like an isha could become a shliach lekabbalah to receive her get, so too what? an Eved could become a Shaliach to receive his Gezel. So we'll say it's a very interesting technicality. So a master cannot put the get directly in the hand of the Eved. But what can he do? It's quite interesting. He could appoint the Eved to be a Shliach leKabbalah to receive the get on behalf of himself. Only by employing, so it's a technicality, only by employing, again, the technical mechanism of Shliach leKabbalah, it works. Direct reception does not work. So we'll say, Snati Gemara is a very interesting kasha. Listen to this. This is really quite fascinating. But yet, that which Rav Huna Brit Rav Yoshua said, Hani Kohani Shluchi Dirachmaraninu. It must be that Kohanim are in fact considered to be the Shaluchim, the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Listen to this. We'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, now this is a machlokas. We actually mentioned this before. This is a machlokas about who do the Kohanim represent. Are the Kohanim the representatives of Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or are they the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael? So we'll say, oh, it's such a beautiful machlokas. No, again, it actually has ramifications. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shluchei d'Rachmananinu, v'lo Shluchei d'Dan. It must be that Kohanim are considered to be the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not our agents. So we'll say, so listen to this. V'nafkamina lemoder hana mikoin. Now there is a nafkamina. There actually is a practical difference to this. What's the practical difference? Let's say I get into an argument with a kohen, right? So I get into an argument with Aaron a kohen, and I say, Aaron a kohen, I'm not getting any benefits from you, right? I'm hereby taking a neder. I don't want anything to do with you. So I say that's very nice. Until what happens the next day? I have to bring my carbon, and guess who's on call? This is on call. Aaron HaKohen. So I made a nether not to get any benefit from Aaron HaKohen. So what's the Shaila? Can he offer up my carbon or not? To which the Gemara says, Rashi quotes over here, it depends. What does it depend on? Let's talk this out. If you say that the Kohanim are our agents, Klal Yisrael's agents, then what? Then he cannot offer up my carbon. Why? Because I can't get any benefit from him. Therefore, he cannot act as my agent. If, on the other hand, you say that Kohanim don't really represent us, they're the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what? Then he can offer up my carbon, because he's not serving me, he's serving the Ribono Shel Olam. Look at Rashi. So Rashi says again, so if somebody makes a nether not to get hana from a coin, the coin is permitted to offer up his carbonos. So watch this. So now says the Gemara, Dan Yeshua, back to the Gemara, Dan Yehuda, the Omer Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, Hani Kohani Shluchi D'Rachmananinu, it must be that Kohanim are considered to be the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because if you think that Kohanim represent us, Klal Yisrael, it can't be, and I'll tell you why. Listen to this. Mi ikamidi da'anan lo matzinon avdinon. Ve'inu matzi avdi. Could it be that there's something that I can't do, but yet the Kohen can do? And the Kohen can't, but, so let me say that again. Mikamidi da analo matzinon avdinon ve'inu matzi avdi. We'll say, bless you, the general rule of shlichos is what? The general rule of shlichos is, your shaliach is considered to be an extension of you. Of you. Therefore, and there's a logic to that. Why? Because your shaliach is supposed to be an extension of me. Therefore, I can only appoint a shaliach to do something that what? That I myself could do. Therefore, it can't be that the Kohen is my shaliach or Rabosai, because the Kohen could do things that I can't do. Remember again, a Yisrael is permitted to do, he's permitted to shecht a carbon, but anything after shechita must be done by a Kohen and cannot be done by anyone else.
Other way, Kohanim can't do what Hashem does also.
That's not such a kasha. Right? That's not such a kasha. Because the Boshom was appointing them. That's not right. Einachinami, correct. But when we say the Shluchei D'Rachmana, we accept the fact that does not have to follow the normative model of Shlichos. Right? If they're my Shaliach, there's a normative framework of Shlichos. If you're the Shlichah HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
Hashem gets the exception.
Exactly. That's the great part of being the boss. Right? You get to make the rules. So what happens? So both I say, you hear this chab. The Gemara says, it must be that the Kohanim are considered to be the Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they can't be my Shaliach. Kohen can't be my Shaliach. Because my Shaliach, I will say, remember, if you understand that, if you can imagine just a moment, that a Shaliach is like an extension of me. Like my arm can only reach till here, Shaliach extends it. But the Shliach is extended to me, which means the Shliach only is vested with the powers that I have. Therefore, again, the Kohen can't be my Shliach because the Kohen can do things that I can't do. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Is that true? Is that the paradigm? V'ha avda di'ihu lo matzi mekabel gitei v'shaliach matzi mashvi. But we'll say, what did we just say before? What did we just say before? We said that Kohen Shemar Elazar, based on the Gzer Shem of la mi'isha, that's what? That an Eved Kenani who cannot accept his own get shichur could what? Could become a shaliach lekabala to accept his get shichur. So that doesn't make sense. We just said before, Abbas, this goes both ways. Meaning, I could only make a shaliach for something that I could do myself. And furthermore, the Gemara is assuming that I could only become a shaliach for something that what? That I could do myself as well. Therefore, again, the same way that the Kohen can't be my shaliach because I can't offer up karbanos, he must be shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could an Eved be a shliach lekabbalah if he himself can't receive the get? To which the Gemara says, "Velohi, it's not a good comparison. I'll tell you why. Yisrael lo shaycha b'taras kabbalas klal." Shabbos said, the reason why we have to say that in reality, Kohanim are the shaluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not of Klal Yisrael, is because the Kohen can't be my shliach. Why? Because I have no shaychas in karbanos. Hey, what's that meaning? There is absolutely no circumstance where I could do karbanos. I'm not shaykh to it. I'm not in the parsha. On the other hand, Eved Shaykh begin. An Eved is Shaykh in the realm of Gittin. How so? This Sanya, listen to this. Nirin Hadvarim, this is an interesting case. Sha Eved Mekabel Gito Shachavero Miad Rabo. Shachavero Avalo Miad Rabo Shalos. Let's listen to this. An Eved Ivri, an Eved Kanani, excuse me, can become a Shliach LaKabbalah. So how do I know this? Because let's say again, one Eved Kanani could receive the get from the master of his friend. Just like his friend could receive the get from his master. Now, we'll say, why? What's the logic over here? Remember again, according to this approach, so the halacha is that a get shichur works when the get leaves the rishus of the master and goes into a different rishus. So let's say there are two avadim kinanim, A and B. So A can't receive his own get shichur, B can't receive his own get shichur, but what could happen? A could receive B's, and B could receive A, which I will say tells you what? That they're shayich, they have a piece, they exist within the framework of shlichos v'get shechur. Oh, so as long as you have a foot in the framework, then I understand why you could set up a case where an Eved Kenani could be the shliach lekabbalah to receive his own get shechur, because he's shayich to it. He's in the parsha. On the other hand, I will say when it comes to karbanos, the Yisrael has what? The Yisrael has absolutely no shaychus. There's absolutely no part in karbanos. That's why it can't be that the Kohen is my shaliach to do the avoda. Why? Because I have no shaychus. If I have no shaychus in karbanos, I can't create the shlichus. Therefore, by definition, the only way to understand kuna is how? That the Kohen must be the shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara will say, again, we're going to see, I'm not doing the halacha lemaisa today, because we're going to see the halacha lemaisa more tomorrow. Because remember, again, this is a yisodistic machlokas over here about how an Eved Kenani goes free. Remember, again, we have a fundamental machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon as to what an Eved could accept himself versus what must be done by a third person. Remember, there are multiple machlokas going on over here. So machlokas number one, really, the truth is, the most fundamental machlokas here is what? Can an Eved be freed against his will? That's really the most fundamental machlokas. And that boils down to, do you view emancipation as a benefit or as a detriment? So remember, there are two sides to that. One school of thought says, of course, freedom is always beneficial. Freedom is always beneficial. The other school of thought says, well, 1 second, you lose truma if you are the servant of a kohen. And what's the other side? And even if you're not the servant of a kohen, what do you lose? You lose the shivcha, right? You lose the opportunity to be engaged with an immoral woman. So that also represents a certain collateral loss. So therefore, again, let's say, you see ultimately again how these things are. Wait, and Howard, what's wrong?
You can go pick up your own, any kind of woman you want.
That's the point. No, not when you're emancipated. You become Jewish when you're emancipated. Right? Well, so remember this important point. When an Eved Kenani is emancipated, he becomes Jewish. That's the hope. I'm sorry?
So go get a nice Jewish girl.
That's the point. That's the point. I see how this is. Okay. Howard Goldstein, the tzaddik. We'll call, we're going to call him Goldstein. I got it. Let me clarify this point again. Remember, when the Gemara actually didn't talk about this explicitly, we're going to get to it. When you buy an Eved Kenani, so two things happen upon purchase of an Eved Kenani. Number one, there's a bris milah, there's a circumcision. Number two, there's a tevila, there's an immersion in the mikvah, l'shem avdus. Now, what that essentially means is the Eved Kenani becomes quasi-Jewish. When I say quasi-Jewish, I'll say he's obligated in all mitzvos that are not time-bound, meaning he's pater from all mitzvos, asei shahazman grama, pater from all time-bound mitzvos, but obligated in any other mitzvah. So when he's emancipated, the other part of his Judaism kicks in. He becomes a full-fledged Jew. So that's the trade-off over here. So remember, again, fundamental machlokes number one is, do we view emancipation as objectively beneficial or not? So that's machlokes number one. Machlokes number two, Rabosei, is just the mechanism of emancipation. What could an Eved, so do we say simultaneity? Do we agree that essentially when you put a shtar in your Eved's hand, he acquires his freedom and the shtar at once? That's also machlokes. Do we say no, there's no simultaneity, in which case third parties must be involved ultimately with emancipation. So there's all of these machlokesim brewing over here. So let's go a little bit right. Let's compound the problem a little bit. So the Gemara says, Obilvat, the Gemara goes right to two dots. Obilvat sheyakes mishalachim. So remember again, this is in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Right? Rabbi Meir holds, I'm sorry, the Chachamim hold that Kesef Ay De'asmo, the Eved could go ahead and what? He could emancipate himself with Kesef, but the Kesef must belong to others. In other words, they're both saying, according to Chachamim, what it sounds like is like this. The Eved could be the one who brings the money to the master to emancipate himself, but that money must originate outside of him. The money must originally belong to a third party. It's given to the Eved, and then the Eved emancipates himself. So says the Gemara, name of Bahal Kamiflagi. It must say this is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Meir Savar ain't king in La Eved below Rabo. Rabbi Meir holds that there is no such a servant cannot own anything without his master. In other words, whatever the servant acquires, the master immediately acquires as well. And similarly, ve'in kinyan li'isha b'lo b'ayla. And a wife can't acquire anything without her husband. I will say, now what that means is the following. Even though these relationships are really not comparable, in the realm of acquisition, they may be somewhat comparable. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over at Rabbi Meir, Tamar Bekesef Ayde Achirim. Remember, Rabbi Meir says of the opinion that in order to emancipate an Eved with money, the money must be given by the third party directly to the master. What's his logic? Because he holds Savar in King and Eved below Rabbo. In Nuslo B'matana, Zacha Borbo, because it was like current Rabbi Meir, an Eved can't acquire anything independently of his master. Therefore, what happens if well meaning third parties give the Eved money to emancipate himself? What happens? It immediately becomes the property of the Adon, and there's no way for him to emancipate himself. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, I'm sorry? Could he be there? So that's embedded in the previous machlokas. So that again, so say it's saying good. According to Shimon Elazar, he could potentially be the shaliach of the third party to deliver the money to the Adon for emancipation. But that's what Shimon Elazar. According to everyone else, there's no shlichos. There's no, because you can't be a shliach for something you can't do yourself. Therefore, the ma'aseh again, no. So it's another machlokas. But leaving that aside for just a moment, according to Rabbi Meir, everything that a servant acquires, everything that a slave has, the master automatically acquires. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the only way to emancipate your Eved is to give the money directly from the third party directly to the Adon himself. Look, let's finish Rashi. So furthermore, again, im nastan lo b'matana zacha bo rabo hilchach afa gavda b'kesef mishal achirim. So what's according to Rabbi Meir? Because whatever a servant acquires, the master automatically acquires. Therefore, even if a third party gives the Eved money with which to acquire himself, the moment that money hits the hand of the Eved, it immediately becomes the property of the Adon, and emancipation is not possible without a third party. On the other hand, the rabbis hold that it is possible for a servant to acquire something independent of his master, the same way that a woman has the ability to acquire something independent of her husband. Look at Rashi. If someone gives the slave a matana, a gift, we will see Rabbi say that if a third party gives a servant money, and the intent of the third party is that they do not want the master to have any rights in this money, that third party intent precludes the master from acquiring the money. Therefore, the Eved could take this money to his master and redeem himself. Rashi just points out over here, he goes on, Kinyan the Isha Ubaila, Ba'alma itzrichalan, the Isha ki eved, hoil ubailo zaka masi adem tziyasa, the chihechi de palik be'in matana be'eved ikal masha udam misha. So, Rashi just points out, we're not really talking about a woman and a husband right now. That's not really our topic. The Gemara just happens to bring it in that this same machlokas Rabosei applies within marriage as well. That since again the difference of marriage, however, is remember again, a woman has the ability to take back the right of ownership of her hand. How does she take back her rights? If she says to her husband, remember, I don't want your mezonos. Remember again, the rabbis gave a husband an entitlement to what his wife earns or what she finds, her yad, as a return for the fact that he has to support her. If she declines support, and she essentially says, no problem, I love you, everything's great, but you know, I'll take care of my own financial needs, then he does not have those rights over him. But assuming that's not the case, there is a parallel case between Avdus and Ishus. But again, we're not worried so much about the marriage case right now. So it says the Gemara, so the Gemara is suggesting over here that what? This is really amazing, that the machlokas in Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is really a fundamental machlokas, as does an Eved have the ability to acquire independent of his master? Rabbi Meir says no. And therefore, because it is no, the only way that you could buy an Eved out of servitude is how? Is if the money goes directly from who? From the third party to the master, bypassing the Eved. Because the moment that money hits the hand of the Eved, what happens? The master acquires it. Chacham see, not true. A servant has the ability to acquire independent of his master. As long as the third party gives the money to the Eved with the explicit instructions that what? That your master has no rights in this money, the Eved can then take that money and emancipate himself. Amar Rav Sheshet, so Rav Sheshet says no. Dechuli alma in kinya Eved lo rabo. So Rav Sheshet says it's not true. Everyone agrees that whatever a master acquires, whatever the servant acquires, the master automatically acquires it. An Eved can't acquire anything independent of his master. Similarly, and a woman can't acquire anything without her husband acquiring it as well. So what's the case? What's the case over here? The akni le acher mone v'amrle amenas she'ein l'rab chorushusbo. We'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where a third party gives the servant money, and he says, I'm giving you this money on the condition that your master has no rights in the money. So watch this. So Meir says, the moment that you tell a servant to acquire something, the moment the servant acquires it, what happens? The master acquires it as well. Lo klum ka'amar. And furthermore, again, the fact that you say amanas on the condition that the master doesn't acquire it, that amanas is irrelevant. That amanas is meaningless, which I'm about to say makes sense. Because if you hold in principle that there's no such thing as a master acquiring of a servant acquiring independent of his master, so any conditions you attach to the giving to the servant are what? Are meaningless. On the other hand, Rabbanon Savri cave and the Amrle Amenas Ahani Leitanoi. On the other hand, the Rabbanon who hold that there is the capacity for a servant to acquire independent of his master. So they hold that when the third party attaches this condition to the gift, that condition works. And therefore the master has no rights in this money. Therefore the servant could go ahead and what? Take the money and redeem himself. But Rabbi Elazar says, Kol kiyai gavna the chuli amalo pligi the kani eved the kani rabbe. Rabbi Elazar says still no. Now, in this, according to what you're describing, everyone would agree Everyone would agree that when you give the servant the money, his master acquires it as well. So what's the case? What's the case over here? V'achamai askinon. Rabbi Elazar is coming along and saying, if a third party is giving the servant money, and he's saying, I'm giving you this money on the condition that your master does not have any rights in it, everyone will agree that the master still acquires the money. So what's the case over here? So Rabbi Elazar Makoki, I gab no dechulem lo pligi dekani abed dekani abe. Chvachamai askinon. What's the case? Kigom de akni le acher mana, a third party gives the eved mana. The amar le almenas shetetse bo lecherus. Ooh, so this is very intriguing. So now we'll say what Rabbi Loza is suggesting is the following: if you go ahead and you just give an eved money and you say this is your money on the condition that your master doesn't have rights in it, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Why? Because the master is going to acquire. Because there's no such thing. There's no such animal. There's no such concept that an Eved owns something independent of his master. But listen to the following case. Let's say a third party gives money to an Eved and says, this is your money on the condition that you go out with it, to Cheres. Then the boss said, what's the chap over here? What's the chap? So what's the difference between saying, this is your money on the condition that your master doesn't have rights in it, versus this is your money on the condition you go out to serve it. What's the chilek? In case number one, the third party is telling the Eved to acquire something. This is yours. To which, this is yours. One second. Well, at the moment that it becomes yours, who else does it become? It becomes the master's. In case number two, Rabbi said, the chap over here was a payoff. What he's saying over here to the Eved is, I don't want you to acquire it. I don't want you to acquire this. In fact, what I want you to use this is as the mechanism for your emancipation. Don't acquire it. In fact, I don't want you to acquire it. Why don't I want you to acquire it? Because again, if you acquire it, then the master acquires it. Instead, what I want you to be over here is the vehicle of conveyance. Watch this. Oh, what's Rabbi Meir Savar. Oh, we're going to leave aside Shleach for just a moment. Rabbi Meir Savar, listen to this. Ki amarle kani eved v'kani rabbe. Because I'll say what happens. According to Rabbi Meir, the moment that you go ahead and you tell an eved to acquire something, right? The moment you tell an eved to acquire something, so ultimately he acquires it, his master acquires it. V'chi amarle amanas lo klum kamarle. So we'll say, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that look, once you are putting something in the hands of the eved, then what? Masha kana eved, kana rabo. Meaning, it doesn't work. It just simply does not work. Whatever you're going to go ahead and give to a servant becomes the master's. For Rabbanan Sarvi, the Rabbanan say, no. Lidide nami ha lo kamaknile. The Rabbanan say to Rameir, you are missing the point. You're missing the point. The whole point over here is that the third party is not conveying ownership to the Eved. Ha lo kamaknile. Daha omer le, excuse me, daha lo omer le ella. Rabbi Meir understands that the moment you put something in the hand of the Eved and you say that this is yours on the condition you go free with it, Rabbi Meir views that as giving ownership to the Eved. And then of course we get into the basic problem, which is once you give ownership to the Eved, then what? Then the master owns it. Then Rabbanan say, Meir, you're missing the point over here. That's the beauty of this case is the third party is not conveying ownership to the Eved. What the third party is saying is, Amanas dehalo makni le, they're not giving him ownership. Dehalo amar le ela amanas shetetzibo lecherus. Rather, all they're saying is what? Look at Rashi. Shetetzibo lecherus. Shetetneu lerabcha bepeyoncha. We're simply asking now, what they're asking and what we're going to have to clarify tomorrow. Are they asking him to be a shaliach? Are they saying to him, just essentially be our UPS, right? be our FedEx, just take it from us and deliver it? Now remember, there's a problem with that. What's the problem with that? Then we get into the whole discussion before, and can it ever be a shaliach? So we'll have to see. What the Rabbanan are saying is one thing is clear, which is what? That in this case, we're definitely saying, don't acquire it. Don't acquire it. We don't want you to own it. Rather, again, we just simply want you to be the mechanism or the vehicle of conveyance. Give it to your master, go free. And therefore, again, according to that one of this work. So we'll stop over here for today. So we end off still with the Machlokos, the team, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim. And simply trying to figure out. So we'll say, here's what we do know. it appears to be that the fundamental machlokes in Amir and the Chachamim is whether or not yesh kinyan le'eved below rabbo or ain kinyan below rabbo. Rabbi Meir holds, in kinyan below rabbo, there's no such thing as the ability for a servant to acquire independent of his master. The Chachamim seem to say that there is the possibility of the servant to acquire independent of his master. Now the way the Gemara seems to set this up as following, the fundamental machlokes case that we're going to see, or the fundamental framework that they seem to be arguing about, is the following case, where a third party says, not acquire this and give it to your master, but rather what? This is yours on the condition you use it to go free. According to Rabbi Meir, the way Rabbi Meir understands this is acquire it. Once they say acquire it, then what? According to Chachamim, no, don't acquire it. Just simply be the vehicle of conveyance. We'll say to be continued tomorrow, Mir Tzah Hashem.